funny hat time. Thank you to GhostBed for once again sponsoring this podcast. As a listener of this podcast, 25% off site-wide for a limited time. You go to ghostbed.com/Norton. Use the promo code Norton at checkout. Ghostbed.com/Norton, promo code Norton. Upgrade your sleep with GhostBed, the makers of the coolest and scariest bed in the world. Some exclusions apply. See site for details. Thanks, GhostBed. Ooh. Well, look at somebody reading his comedy dates, holding the dog, hoping. Look at how uncomfortable. Even the dog hates my act. The dog's like, get me away from this, you hack. I don't want to hear these poorly selling dates. October 17th, 18th at Rochester. All right, Taffy, you're embarrassing me. October 24, 25 in Denver. November 7, 8, Batavia. Isn't this a heartwarming little... All right. November 13th in Portland, 14th and 15th in Eugene, Oregon, the 16th in Bend, Oregon, November 21st, Huntington, November 22nd, Newton, December 18th, Bangor, Maine. Then I'm going to be at Foxwoods in Manchahaunts, however you say that name, December 20th, Boston, Massachusetts. Give Daddy a kiss for success.
Jim Norton can't save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can't help you solve your own problems. Jim is an idiot.
Is there a countdown on that? You always seem to know when it's happening.
Yes.
Okay.
It tells you, yeah.
This is the first time, by the way, that I'm not, and that really was an old man question to ask two young guys, but every time I ask him, are you recording? Like, I really have no contribution to this thing other than
you
talking.
You know, there's no red light. It used to be a red light, right?
There is, and yeah, right, the camera. Remember, you're probably too young, but the Brady Bunch, where Cindy Brady was on, and they said, what's the capital of Louisiana? And she kept looking at the red light, mm-hmm. and she couldn't answer it, and they're like, Baton Rouge, Cindy. Anyway, welcome to the show. 1971, awful reference.
Pork chops and applesauce.
What was that?
That was Brady Bunch.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Pork chops and applesauce.
I don't remember that part.
Well, there you go. Who's old now?
Also, the Brady Bunch. Sit down, kids. Daddy is sick. That's also the Brady Bunch.
Did you see what they did to this house? The real, like, they transformed the exterior house into what they made it look like, the interior of the show now.
Oh,
it's identical. You could, like, visit it. Yeah.
Wait. Oh, that's right. Because
in, like, Burbank or something.
Yeah, that was only an exterior on a lot.
It was
a
bullshit.
Lot.
Yeah, and then they actually turned it into it. Yeah, see, they bought it in 2023, HGTV, with no intention of living there. She plans to use the house for charity events such as unique attractions for fans.
So wait, was it? Oh, I thought it was just a facade house. That was an actual house?
So it was, but then, like, a couple years ago, they made it into the set.
Oh, they did.
And it's structurally impossible. So, like, they show how they did that. They made it, like, they added, like, a back area, because, like, it doesn't act, like the full house doesn't make any fucking sense with the actual house. But yeah, you see this, like, he made it into the actual.
You want to scoot up to that?
Yeah, yeah. Or just move this. Duh.
And what was not structurally, was the inside too big? What was wrong with it? Like,
so, like, you know how sets are just made up, but yeah. they use an exterior just to make it look like something.
Yes.
Like the Friends apartment, all that stuff is nonsense. They made this look, that's actually the house now. This didn't used to look like this. It was just like a regular house, but they made it look like the Brady Bunch house now, where it didn't used to be. I watched, like, this whole thing. It was like a documentary they made. I feel like Lance Bass had something to do with it. I thought he did, but maybe he didn't.
It's crazy how I was starting off on a Brady Bunch comment, figuring, and then it really has launched us. It has launched this podcast into
a
whole,
the right guy.
Whole bunch of new young fans are gonna love this. Talk about Cousin Oliver, Jim.
I mean, I thought it was kind of cool, though, because that shit doesn't really exist. Facts about the Brady.
And who died? I know Florence Henderson is dead, and I know, obviously, Robert Reed died.
Oh, there's got to be a lot of people dead on here.
No, Anne B. Davis, Alice is dead, but she wasn't that old, and I think the rest of them are alive. All the kids are alive. I think all of them are alive. Every one of them is still living. Maureen McCormick, I've never met, but she looks
here
pretty good.
Here we go. Robert Reed, dead.
Yeah.
Florence Henderson, dead.
Anne B. Davis is dead.
Yeah, you know, all the kids, yep.
Yeah, they're all still. Eve Plum, as a young Jan Brady.
Cousin Oliver.
Yeah, Cousin Oliver. Oh, God. Is he Robbie Rist? That was Cousin Oliver. What is he doing, Cousin Oliver? By the way, if you're tuning in and go, they're going to talk about the Brady Bunch? It's going to be a two-hour episode, all Brady trivia. What was the dog's name? Tiger. I answer my own trivia. I loved it as a boy.
Yeah, man.
Is that Cousin Oliver? At least he aged well. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I mean, the guy is literally, he's 61 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why he has gray hair. Ageist pig I am. But how old are you? You're a young guy.
I'm 35.
I guess this is one
I don't remember it, but like, right. We're a little bit of pop culture nerds.
A little bit,
you know, some of the past, especially being into comedy and stuff.
And you can't avoid it, like on Nick at Night or all these other, like, there's always a place showing it.
The pork chops and applesauce thing, my aunt used to always say, and she's like probably around your age, so she would always say stuff like that.
Was that someone, was it like Peter acting or something?
Yeah. It was like a guy in a movie said it, so he repeated it.
Pork chops and when you said it like that, it was familiar.
Pork chops and applesauce. He said it like that.
Oh, like Bogart.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm going to hate that. I hate the.
You hate
it? He's shrugging his shoulders. Look at that. Alice is fucking pistoning a string of sausages into her vag. You got
something stuck in your teeth. What do you say
there? Hi, honey. Home.
You say we're having pork chops?
All right, can we turn? I can't. What's for dinner? And Dad's having broth. We're having pork chops.
Dad's having an affair with someone else. He's never home.
Yes, a gentleman at the office. Dad is grabbing his ankles at the office.
There's got to be a Brady Bunch porn.
I'm sure there is. I'm 100% sure there is.
Not the Brady's. Oh, yes.
Oh.
Dude, you ever seen the Seinfeld one? Yeah. Oh, dude, it's hilarious.
No.
It's so dumb. It's really funny.
Just turn the volume on it down.
Why does he have Tony Soprano?
I don't know. Which Brady is that? He's a big, fat Brady. Who is that? He looks like Silvio.
The Brady's XXX.
Yes. It's got the same thing. They're all looking around, the pigtails. Oh, there's the one in the middle part,
you know?
This is actually not that bad.
But they're going to set up the camera.
They're setting up in the bedroom, yeah. Somebody tells you this is going to get saucy very quickly. And I like that the porn did the best they could to mock up the house, but they didn't want to spend any money.
Yeah. There's a couple of walls.
That is very funny. Aurora Snow, this must be old. I used to love her.
Mm.
She's really hot. Ron Jeremy, this is definitely old.
Oh, Ron Jeremy.
Sam the Butcher. Wow. Oh, yeah, Ron got into a bit of trouble. Ron's in Dutch. So yeah, Aurora Snow, that was she was very sexy. I hosted the Porn Awards twice.
Sweet.
But it was years. It was in 2000, January of 2004, and also in 2007, I think.
2007, good year for porn.
It was actually.
I was 17. I got a MacBook in my room. I remember being like, "Oh, I'm going to lose gallons of semen."
Yeah, I did too. I did too. Jessica Drake was my co-host, and Jenna Jameson in 2004 was the co-host.
Oh, yeah, that was...
But they were big year. It was like literally, the one year was at the Venetian, and I think it was 6,000 or 7,000 people. And then the stuff all the people in the business would laugh at, the public wouldn't laugh at. Mm. And the stuff the public laughed at, the people in the business were too coked up and too busy talking to each other at the tables. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude, were they like wild or?
No, I mean, they were, again, they're like any group of people. It's like doing a private party. Mm. Like, it's like doing an office party where everybody knows each other. They know the inside joke.
Yep.
Larry Flint, the first time I did it, was right up front. So I was really happy to make Larry Flint laugh when he did. He didn't laugh. You could never really tell what he was doing, making a noise. But I loved Larry Flint, so it was fun. I got to meet all the people I wanted to meet, and I was starstruck. Yeah. I was running through the AVN Awards, meeting all these stars, and John Holmes' widow was there. I didn't get too close.
What an intimate like thing to share with someone.
You never know. Might sneeze on you, you know. But yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, that's a pretty that's an interesting thing. I've always thought when you meet a porn star, I'm a big fan.
It's yeah.
Like, I've orgasmed to you.
Many times.
That's an interesting, like, you know.
I said that when I met Tiger Woods. I'm like, sorry, I've blown a lot of loads to you. I don't even like golf. I just respect how good you are at it.
That red Nike shirt. You look really good in it.
And what's the number? We should give out the number one more time. It's actually on the story. So if you want to call in, I don't know if we have good advice for you. If you want to just talk Brady, we'll be happy to talk about the Brady Bunch. We'll talk about Taxi. We'll talk about Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah,
anything but soap.
In the 70s, yeah.
I didn't watch soap. I know Billy Crystal played a homosexual on soap, but I didn't watch it. And there was a ventriloquist in soap, too. Do you remember soap?
No.
I don't even think we know what that
is. Oh, soap was a huge, groundbreaking sitcom. And, yeah, it was Billy Crystal, and I forget who else was in it. It didn't seem to make the generational jump, though.
Never heard of this.
Yeah, there's a lot of people you don't know. Alien abduction, demonic possession, extramarital
Jimmy
affairs.
Baio, any connection to Scott Baio?
I'm going to guess it's an older brother, yeah, or an uncle. Look what Billy Crystal has listed.
Oh, my God, wow.
I love looking at old credits. Oh, Robert Guillaume, he also played Benson. That's right. This spot. Howard Hessman from WKRP in Cincinnati. Jay Johnson, very famous. Gordon Jump.
It's either porn or 70s.
That's right.
Forgotten
yeah.
sitcoms.
Or I should say WKRP in Cincinnati.
WNBC.
Gordon Jump played Mr. Carlson. Wow, there was a lot of famous people that wound up going on to bigger things that did parts in this.
Damn! Look at this. Why? How is the cast so big?
I'm guessing that they're listing Ted Wass. I've seen that too. Hold on. Oh, Robert Urich, of course, is a big star. Roddy. What did Rod Roddy do?
The Price is Right.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
This is Rod Roddy.
That's right. What a career that guy. He's still alive? Oh, no, he died. He died.
Like 20
All right.
years ago.
I didn't mean to be so angry. He's still alive? Fuck him. Get him. All right. Call in if you want to chat. And we're here. It's really Rod Wright. That's right. I knew his voice. And I can't believe he's been dead for 20-something years.
Man. Well, I mean, these guys looked 50 for 80 years.
But who was doing the voice all these other years? I guess I watched it
this
as
guy,
a
George.
Kid. Oh.
George Gray.
That's the guy who does the...
He does it now with Drew Carey.
That show is crazy. Who was Drew the host right after...
Right after Bob.
Wow, so there's only been two.
He's been doing it for since 2007, I want to say, which was a great year for porn.
What a great kid. Because you were 17.
Yeah, I was 17, and I got an iMac.
What a great career Drew Carey has.
Dude, right? It's pretty wild how successful everything he's touched has become. Remember how huge Whose Line was?
Like, yes.
They still do Whose Line, but in when I watched it as a kid, they'd have Robin Williams guest be one of the
recently?
Cast members. This would be, this would be like in 2001 when it was like huge and Wayne Brady was like first popping off. And like they'd have like huge people do it. And yeah, man. See, there you go. 2007, he started doing The Price is Right. He's another one whose weight is all over the place.
He's dropped a lot. I mean, he was a big guy. And I guess he realized, like, I mean, he's probably worth $200 million or $150 million.
Oh, dude, crazy. Yeah.
Like, why would I keep eating?
He also, huge drug guy.
Was he?
Loves drugs.
Oh,
he tells
good
this,
for him.
He does, you know those things, I forgot who, you've probably seen him. It's like when the guy, is it This Is Not Happening? Where they go on, they do a stand-up show, but it's also like telling a wild story.
Yes.
Drew Carey did
one
of those.
That was Ari Shaffir's. Was that Ari Shaffir's?
Maybe it was him. I'm not sure, but Drew Carey was on one of them. A similar, and he would talk about how he would go to like Burning Man and get fucked up on like acid. Yeah, and he's like, I can't really say this because I look at this, crack cocaine.
Wow, I like that he wanted to reclassify marijuana because marijuana literally is listed in the immigration like handbook as a class 1 narcotic. Which means it's like it's up there with like I think cocaine is class 2. It's crazy
yeah,
how they list
insane,
marijuana.
Dude. I mean, how is that still? That just has to be outdated though.
No, but they're always fighting and there's always pushback. I bet you a lot of the pushback is from the pharmaceutical companies. There's certain pushback from tobacco companies probably that just don't want it legalized because they'll lose money.
And prisons.
Why prisons?
Aren't people getting arrested? Wouldn't you get arrested and then sit in prison and make money on you?
Oh, you mean, yeah, but prisons are so overcrowded. I'll bet your prison would be happy, even private jails would be happy to not have to deal with a bunch of idiots doing pot. Because if you're only in jail for pot, let's be honest, you're going to be like a rump-wrangled young man. If that's your biggest crime in federal prison, your asshole's going to take a beating, and then they have to fucking go in there and clean it up. We got tired of these bloody mattresses. Can you just legalize pot?
Would it be federal?
In a federal way, yeah. Because states have it. Even if it's legal in a state and you smoke it, it can still affect your federal immigration.
Oh, my God.
It's really gross because federally it's still illegal. Man.
That just has to catch up with like the time.
It has to catch up with the time.
That's so stupid.
How didn't Drew Carey make like $40 million 1 year? Like, I mean, I forget because Rick Messina managed him, and I think was it Foxworthy? I think it was Foxworthy.
Dude, his Price is Right pay has to be unbelievable.
$165 million. Okay,
makes $1 million a month.
Wow,
that's pretty good for just the Price is Right.
$12.5 million a year. Wait, no, Rick Messina had him. Oh, Tim Allen. Sorry, not Jeff Foxworthy. He had him and Tim Allen.
He's another one, dude. But his career is just like
insane,
unreal.
And he doesn't get the credit. Like people don't mention Tim Allen like in the breadth of successful huge comics, but they really should because Home Improvement, the movies. How much is he worth, Tim Allen? He's worth $10 million, I bet.
Yeah, bro. Toy Story. Like that's insane.
Only $100 million.
What? He has a show now.
$100 million.
He has a sitcom somehow in 2025.
Yeah,
with the laugh track and everything.
Is that The Last Man Standing?
No, it's Gears, Shifting Gears.
Shifting Gears. Yep.
Yeah, dude. It's still like with Kat Dennings.
He has.
What happened to Kat Dennings? She used to be fucking everywhere.
She's on a show with her. With Tim.
Wow. Like I'm doing any better.
But it's funny that like he has, as a guy who has such a career, and people don't think to mention him unless they just want to mock him because they don't like his politics or they don't think he's hip enough.
He's very conservative.
Hugely successful.
But another thing too, dude, no one talks about Ellen. Like, I think she was a fucking phenomenal stand up. And
I agree.
I don't even know if people knew she did stand up, like, because she was the dancing lady for the
That's right.
On TV. But dude, she was one of my biggest like influences growing up. I loved her stand-up.
I remember her.
Do you know his? I don't really know.
But
his stand-up like killer.
That was it was very good. I mean, he would kill on stage. Too, yeah, it was the 80s and that. But I remember him, and I remember Ellen doing a bit, and we didn't even know she was gay. She was like the tomboyish. I mean, how we look at that vest. How did we not know that there's never been?
She looks like a waiter. She looks like a magician waiter.
yeah. She just goes to Taco Bell to applaud the shape.
It's crazy.
But she would do a very funny bit about holding a brush and talking into it, and like
she's fucking.
She was a good comic.
Murderer.
Really good comic.
Shit. Yeah, she was really good.
But I only met her once, and she wasn't particularly nice.
There's just so many stories proving that stuff, apparently.
Which was annoying. I was a comic, and I was like, hey, I'm a comic. She's like, yeah, yeah. And she just kept, I was like, fuck you. Like,
ugh.
Usually comedians are fairly nice to each other.
Oh, yeah.
She's like one of the only ones that wasn't. People shit on Rosie, but my times I've met Rosie, she couldn't have been nicer. You know, she was very sweet. So why am I putting the hat on? Because I want you to know this is a brand new read from my friend, Steven Singer. Everyone loves when I talk about our good friend, Steven Singer. The I Hate Steven Singer guy, if you haven't heard of him yet. Steven Singer Jewelers was named one of the, I can't see because you made the copy too big. I'm going to say one of the best hung. That's my guess. But the copy cuts off. Is there a way to make it a little smaller? This is there. Okay, well, how about this, guys? You gave us copy that's cut in the middle. But you know what? It doesn't matter because I can just talk about Steven. I'm going to fill in the blanks. He was named one of the largest genitaled men and America's leading jeweler. That's what I'm going to say. There are almost 18,000 jewelers in America, and less than 50 jewelers have received this honor. Only one, Steven Singer, who's got the giant genitals. Just another reason why most of the jewelers, they really hate his guts. And it's not just because he's creepy in person and he smiles a lot as he stares at your ass and crotch. It's because he does things that they don't do. They run all these fake sales. Bullshit. Steven doesn't do any of that. Trust. He has the best guarantee, the best warranty. And it's all at the perfect price. 365 days a year, Steven always has the best value on real diamonds. Again, jewelers, like I was just saying, they do these phony sales, fake discounts, pricing games. Steven, there's no bullshit, no nonsense ever. It's easy and it's fun. I've been down to his place on the other corner of 8th and Walnut. I got my wife's engagement ring. Legitimately, it's a great place. They took excellent care of me, showed me around. They had beautiful selection. And it's really why he's one of the most trusted jewelers in America. No one does real diamonds better than Steven Singer. So experience the difference at my dear friend Steven Singer's place, Steven Singer Jewelers, online. IHateStevenSinger.com with fast and free shipping. IHateStevenSinger.com. Not only does he have a giant package, he's honest. Now I'm going to talk the way I should talk with this hat. Here's the truth, y'all, about mattresses these days. They start sagging after a few years. Untalented. I can't even do a southern accent. Even if you spend thousands, before you know it, you're going to be stuck with a bed that feels all worn out and caved in. Let's be honest, you're not in great shape. If you're listening to this podcast, you're a disaster. Ghostbed takes a different approach. Every Ghostbed mattress is built with the highest quality materials. They're designed to actually last. We have one. I love the Ghostbed. I genuinely love the pillows. I love the sheets. And I love the mattress. Backed by a 20 to 25 year guarantee. It's not bullshit, empty promises. It's proof that they believe in what they're putting out. Every mattress includes cooling features to help you regulate your temperature all night. And the value is undeniable. Ghostbed mattresses up to 50% less than comparable brands. I'm a terrible sleeper. I can sleep well on my Ghostbed, and it does keep you nice and cool. Ghostbed makes it easier. 101 night sleep trial, fast free shipping. Most orders 2 to 5 days. You could be sleeping better by next week. You're not sure which one to pick? Try Ghostbed's redesigned mattress quiz. So much fun for you and your spouse. Instead of going to a party or having sex, take the mattress quiz. It's fast, it's smart, it lets you take it together. So if you can find a bed that works for both of you, you're both going to be a lot happier. As a listener, 25% off site-wide for a limited time. Go to ghostbed.com/Norton. Use the promo code Norton at checkout if you want to sleep like daddy. Ghostbed.com/Norton, promo code Norton. Upgrade your sleep with Ghostbed, the makers of the coolest beds in the world. Some exclusions apply. See site for details. Thanks, Ghostbed.
You know, man, it's people. It's we're in this new era where, like, I wish I was younger to, like, come up in before the internet, where, like, your personality wasn't based upon around your fucking opinions on shit. It was just like, you didn't really know. I feel like there was just so much better.
Yeah.
You know? People, like you said, Tim Allen. People probably literally stay away from him or talk shit about him because I think he's more concerned. Or Jay Leno, too, is probably a little more.
And Leno is a great... It's funny how, like, so many of the progressives would give Leno shit, and it's like, he's everything they said they wanted. He was fair with his employees. He paid really well. Dude, they loved working for him. He was faithful to his wife. Like, he would literally fly out, go home. His wife has dementia. He takes care of her. Like, he's everything progressives said that they wanted a guy to be, and they still gave him shit. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. I love Leno. So
I think it's because of the Letterman and Conan shit.
It was, it was that rivalry, and they felt like they had to put a lot. People felt like they had to put a line in the sand instead of just saying, like, hey, these are all very rich guys fighting over a job I'll never be in contention for.
I know. They're not your friends. Like, it used to be like when I would, like, argue with people about 50 Cent versus The Game when they were beefing. And I'm like, these guys don't know me. I'm some white kid on Staten Island. They don't give a shit about me. You know,
50 Cent, by the way, I mean, it'd be hard pressed to find a more entertaining person on social media.
Dude, because no one is, like, would really challenge him. They're all really afraid of him, which is kind of fun to watch.
And everyone knows he's really rich.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't take away his, like, there's nothing you can do to him.
Yeah.
His show is a success, or his shows. Like, what are you going to say to 50 Cent? He doesn't give a shit. Like, he's almost impenetrable in that there's nothing you can take away from him. So they just leave him alone.
And again, in real life, that I think it's because if you're in real life, if no one says shit to you, it's different. People wouldn't say shit to this guy. He was an actual gangster. And I think that's just so intimidating. You heard the
Jay? I know the Ja Rule story, yeah. It makes me very happy.
the pettiest shit I've ever heard.
Sat next to him on a flight, and I won't do the Ja Rule.
50 or Ja Rule?
50 Cent. In 2003, going to spring break.
2003, that was the time to meet him.
Oh my! And he walked through customs, and the explosion from the students, like, recognizing him.
Oh,
but we took
shit.
A photo together, and it's a humiliating photo.
You have it?
Yeah, it's online somewhere.
Oh, let's go, baby.
It's a humiliating. No, that's when we interviewed him. But there's a photo of us on a plane together. it's got to be somewhere.
Plane.
They just show a picture of a plane. What do you think? I don't know how to Google plane. I would have to put Jim Norton plane. I would have put P-L-A-I-N as in boring.
Oh, damn, that's fucking good.
No, I don't know why that's not coming up.
Did you post it?
Yeah, all over the years I have, yeah. But there's just a picture of me. I raised my hand like him and point. It was really...
Oh, my God. You know what? You got swept up in the moment. I get it.
I did get swept up in the moment, but it's still something that I must acknowledge.
Oh, here we go.
I'm a douchebag. Yeah. I don't know.
That's like crazy to me how Google couldn't find this. Because, like, yeah, AI is amazing. I mean, that's kind of the easiest thing for AI to do, recognize him, his face and 50 Cent's face.
I should update more of these. I've got so many of these pictures I have not even put on.
Jason Alexander.
I think you should make it like a photo book. That'd be sick.
I know, or do something like that. I have a great picture with Kevorkian. That's one of my greatest ones. Ron Bennington interviewed Jack Kevorkian, and I saw him, and I actually got his badge from SiriusXM. That was a real, that's a high moment for me.
Wait, Jim, this is funny because you're not doing any hand thing with anyone.
No,
so it's just 50.
It was because he did it in the, by the way, that's one of my proudest moments too. Slick Rick on stage at the Comedy Cellar many, many years ago. And I met him years later. And I'm like, do you remember that? And he goes, no. I was like, oh, fuck. I was so bummed out.
Yogi Berra.
How do you not remember walking on stage at a comedy club? Yeah, that really bums me out. I don't know where this picture is. It's around somewhere. That's and that great. Rick Rubin was at the Comedy Cellar. He had come in to see Chris Rock. But whatever. I'm sorry I'm wasting showtime doing this, but I can't find. It was me and him pointing.
I'll cut it out.
It was me pointing at like a complete little hip-hop white
dude,
douchebag.
Dude, 2003, he was the hottest thing on the planet. Like,
he was.
That's pretty cool.
And we sat next to each other, and I didn't know what to say to him. So I just said, I said hello or something, and that was like, I didn't know what to say to him.
When did you interview him? Was it a lot after that?
Oh, years later, yeah. I went to, oh, no, actually not. Spring Break was 2003. It was when we were kicked off the radio, and I got two MTV pilots, neither of which went anywhere.
Yeah.
Speaking of 9/11, my pilots. I wound up interviewing him probably like in 2007, 2008, 2009, or in that area. Got but I don't know where this is, so it doesn't matter. I thought the picture was online. I'm sure I put it on Twitter. Who cares? We'll move forward. Have you had any bad experiences with comics or like people that you liked that you've met that were like,
Not really. I mean, there's been people that their ego is like, oh, Jesus Christ. And it's just a little disappointing. But no, I haven't really had anything like that happen. You know what it normally is? I'm sure you could say the same shit. It's the people who aren't anyone yet and think they're usually the worst. And it's like, what are you kidding me? But the people who are like the actual giant people are actually usually pretty cool.
Yeah, like if you met The Rock, he's probably a great guy, but his publicist is probably really difficult.
Or like
that's how
The Miz.
The Miz is actually a good guy.
I'm fucking around. He's somebody who's like, I know.
Yeah, I like The Miz because he likes me. And that's very important in Jim Norton's world. But I really like him. Anyone who likes me, I like. He's a good dude.
I watched him on The Real World, actually. So I was actually really excited when he got on WWE because I actually watched that season of The Real World. It was in New York.
It's funny. I never watch. I wish I had liked
a crush
wrestling.
On this girl, Lori. I think her name was. Was it that her? Yeah. Like,
was she on the?
Right there.
This is another show I'm not that familiar.
Lori.
With.
I never knew her last name. Tress.
Trespicio. Trespicio. Yeah. What year is that?
Probably because she looks like she's from Staten Island. 2000. 2000. Oh, 2001.
Wow. You're from Staten Island, right?
Yeah.
Do you still live there?
I do. Yeah. I lived in LA, then Austin, then I moved back to Staten Island when I got passed at the Cellar.
Staten Island is interesting. I was always fascinated with like Toad Hill Road.
Oh, yeah.
Because of all the mob guys that were there. Like, there's such a history of people don't realize how many, but everyone thinks Brooklyn, but Staten Island had a lot of the biggest guys.
Oh, dude. Yeah, of course. I mean, there's a big house I actually know the girl's dad who owns it. It's the old Castellano mansion.
That's Toad Hill Road, yeah.
Yeah, that's Toad Hill. And
I think.
It's not Toad Hill Road. It's on.
It's Toad Hill?
It is Toad Hill, the neighborhood of Toad Hill, which is the highest point in the Eastern Seaboard.
Is it really?
Yes. If there's ever like a.
Wow, look at that house.
And he bought the lot next to it. It's like insane. But yeah.
That was his house?
No, so this guy,
wow.
Pam, if you put in a Paul Castellano, it looked way different in the 80s. It looked way different in the 80s.
But this house, I mean, this house is probably a $20 million house.
Yeah, it's on sale for 18. He's trying to sell it, actually.
Is he?
Look how he spelled Castellano. Oh God, I love you, pimp.
Big Paul Mansion is wow.
But that, it didn't look like that. This is like updated over the years. I've been in this house.
You have?
Yeah, I have. It's insane.
Oh my God! So wait, is that the original house built on, or did he knock down the original house?
So that's probably.
Oh my God!
The bones might be there, but this is significantly larger than the one. From
and
like
that's
the
80s. All his property.
All his property. He bought the one next to it. Has like, I don't know. It's like a Willy Wonka maze type thing.
That's crazy.
I don't know what the fuck that's for.
Big pool.
Yeah. Insane.
That's good living. But is the like I maybe Staten Island has a? I know that really was. I keep. That's good living. Really, Aunt Jim? Fucking idiot. But is the air quality in Staten Island good? Like you always hear, like it's built on a dump. No. It's built.
No, you're right. You're right. The dump was closed in '96 and
30 years. Okay.
They opened it briefly for after 9/11, but
satisfactory.
What the fuck do I know? I mean, there's a higher cancer rate in spots of Jersey. There's higher autism in spots in Jersey. So who knows?
But does Staten Island have a lot of both?
As opposed to Manhattan, I don't think it's significant.
Okay.
No, I don't believe so.
The 9/11 debris.
That's bad.
Potential health impacts. Yeah, Staten Island got fucked, man.
But dude, you would think it would be insane,
right?
With the proximity, but it's not like, I don't know.
Respiratory issues.
My grandma told my mom she didn't want to move there because of cancer, and then my grandma died of cancer.
But old people, it's different because a lot of times they didn't. You know, when you're old, you're gonna get cancer anyway, probably sooner or later.
Yeah, either that or a hip.
The hip goes, you're finished,
like
right?
Norm MacDonald, like, it was all purple. What, the wind?
The wind. But did you hear that Russia has a potential cancer vaccine?
Really?
Yes, but it's for a couple. It's for, it starts with a G, the brain cancer. And there was another one. Was it a testicle or a thyroid? But it's going to use your own RNA or something or whatever. I know nothing, obviously. But they have a potential vaccine.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Enteromix, personalized cancer vaccine for clinical applications. So I'm guessing that there's something in your body that can fight the cancer. They take whatever they do and they use your own whatever.
Yeah. Dude, there's been also, I know nothing. There's been people out there who've had pancreatic cancer. And again, I'm a fucking moron. But what I've read from from text on a picture on Instagram, I think there is some evidence to people who have fasted for like 30 days and killed the cancer, basically.
Yeah, starving the cancer is a thing where they say a water diet for 7 days. But I felt if that was true, then every hospital would just put you in and pump you full of water.
To some extent.
It requires nutrients. Yeah, cancer can be starved to some extent. Not enough to... intermittent fasting is not enough to stop pancreatic cancer. Because usually it's stage four by the time you realize you have it.
Yeah. Intermittent though, like if you don't eat for like a buddy of mine didn't eat for, I want to say it was like 3 months, because you don't have to eat. He was just having water. A guy's done it for years.
How did he get his
Pimp, can you fast for a year? There was a guy that has done it before.
No, you cannot fast for a year without food.
I'm telling you, man. This guy, world's longest.
Repeated fasting. Now, does that mean with little brief reprieves from it?
I don't know what the fuck this is either.
Yeah, it's probably some Indian guy who's just lying. Some guy with a long beard. He sits there and he bilks tourists out of money.
You know what?
Scotland, 382 days.
All right, so not years. I apologize, obviously.
That's still a long time. He was consuming only non-caloric beverages, vitamins and electrolytes, resulting in a massive weight loss. How do you not eat for a year and only lose 276 pounds?
What? Because he started at 450.
What a fat fuck. But wouldn't you lose everything?
You're a rail, baby.
God almighty, you're just feasting on your own blubber for 382 days? Yuck.
That's a lot of storage you got.
What a fatty. You know how bad his chair must have smelled? All right. Not recommended, obviously. Wow. You think you would lose more, right? In a year, you would lose more than that?
Yeah. I think it was like disappear.
And if anybody, if there's any, okay.
I could have sworn it was like something different too, but I guess, this was in the
60s. That's still a long time. I would have guessed no more than a month.
Yeah, you want some calls?
Yeah, let's take a call and put our thing on here. I forget sometimes.
All right.
Yeah, if anybody, if you want to, if you have any questions about like 70s television shows.
Or fasting.
Fasting, Staten Island's cancer rates, or Martin Mull. We'll talk about any of those things. Jim, the hat's not funny anymore. Stop doing it. I don't care. I'm doing it because I like how I look in this hat, which is awful. Fall always feels like a bit of a reset, you know, back to school, which has nothing to do with me. Busier routines, whatever it is. Finding time to cook can be tough. I don't like to cook, if you want the truth. That's why I love Factor. They're chef-prepped, dietitian-approved meals. They make it easier to stay on track. And you can enjoy something comforting and delicious no matter how hectic your season is, how busy you get. And I'm lazy. I am a lazy person. And as you know, I try to eat healthy. You know why I don't look good? Because I'm not just eating these healthy meals. I snack like an idiot when I'm on the road. I got to bring these on the road somehow. More variety, more meals. They're delicious. You can choose from a wider selection of weekly meal options, including premium seafoods like a salmon and shrimp. No extra cost. Support your wellness goals. Enjoy even more GLP-1 friendly. I don't know what that means, but it's obviously healthy because they wrote it. New Mediterranean diet options packed with protein and good-for-you fats. For the first time, try Asian-inspired meals with bold flavors influenced by Thailand, China, and many more places. For more choices to better nutrition, that's why 97%, of customers say that Factor helped them live a healthier life. You can feel the difference no matter what your routine. I love them. All I really care about is that they're kind of healthy and they taste good, and they're actually very healthy and they taste great. Eat smart at factormeals.com/Norton50off. That's NORTON number 50 off. Norton 50 off. Use the code Norton50off. You get 50% off your first box plus, free breakfast for a year. That's code Norton50off at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box. Plus free breakfast for a year. Why is that hard? I can't read. Get delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor. The offer is only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. And I really do love these meals, and I'm happy you guys are on board. Your food is great.
Hey, my name's Jay, a big fan. Me and my dad actually saw you at a Bagoobies in Maryland recently.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, it's actually a fun gig, and it's a terrible comedy club name, but a great club.
Yeah.
Magoobies.
Yep. Timonian.
Question for you. So I have a pretty, toxic work environment, but I'm a little anxious to quit and try and find something else. Do you have any, suggestions on how to deal with, shitty people in the workplace?
Well, I have to be careful of what I say, because I've had many postal employees call me, and they've taken the advice I've given, and it didn't work that well. it's very difficult when you're dealing with toxic people or you're unhappy. Is it a good paying job?
I mean, it's okay. I just turned 30, so it's kind of entry level, but I just bought a house, so I don't want to just quit and then find something that might be less, and then kind of screw myself. But yeah, the people are just kind of unbearable at this point.
I mean, you always got to find something before you quit. That's the best. See if you can apply and find something. You've had day jobs, I take it, right?
Yeah, of course. I don't want to, without getting too personal, how do you have to interact with these people?
I mean, mostly just meeting calls. It's not every day, but it's one of those things where it's bad enough where it can ruin your day when you try and talk to these people, because they kind of just...
Well, are you allowed to do things?
Don't really understand.
Maybe be passive aggressive, change your Zoom name to CNTLKR.
That's a great idea. I might not need to look. I might just get fired. But I mean, hey, I might kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, it's. It is very hard, but I guess you got to. It's like a risk reward, right? Like if you're making a good money, it's hard to walk away from good money. You just got a house. You're gonna have to deal with it for a little while.
Where do you live?
No,
I'm right here.
You're right.
Where do you live?
Western Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Near Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. I mean, there's going to be some opportunities in Pittsburgh. Maybe you could, I don't know, write a local paper or something.
What do you do in Pittsburgh? Do you work in the steel industry, or is that a 1973 question?
No, I'm not 70 years old. I actually work in like an operations department for like a retirement company.
I mean, I got to be honest with you, buddy. I don't know how much better it's going to get if that's your field. It might just be the field you're in.
Yeah, you might be at the zenith of that. I work in the production end or whatever, the retirement. What does that mean? What do you do?
My company just like works on like 401k plans. I don't do that. I just kind of work on like the business operations side.
I'm sure you could find another company that has business operation. That's so vague. Business operations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost like when Vito Soprano is like, yeah, I'm in the CIA or whatever. Meanwhile, he was in jail and blowing guys in Rhode Island.
Yeah, you know what? How
Vito
hard?
Vito Soprano.
How hard are you looking for another job? Like, or do you want to like?
Oh, I haven't really looked. It was more just like,
oh, how do I deal with these
people?
It would
be nice, but I'm. Yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean, there's ways to torture them. I mean, there's plenty of ways to
absolutely
do a little annoying things. You know. Most of these meetings are Zoom meetings.
It's mostly remote.
Well, you know what you want to do? Like when there's a bunch of them in the office, bring up like one of those videos where it's those to catch a predator guys. And that, like when they start chasing the pedophile, go, look at them picking on this guy. It's so unfair. Side with the guy.
Oh, man. Amazing. Such
I appreciate it, guys. I just want to call in. You got big fans of both you guys, so I appreciate the call.
All right. Good luck.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you making that up. And pretending like you know who I am. I really appreciate it. You're very kind.
He's a good guy.
Good guy.
Well, he's talking to old people all day. He's like, it's going to be fine. Meanwhile, they have fucking 10 minutes to live.
Man, that's like such a real job, though, right? I've never had any experience in like a real adult job where you have to like fucking the data center is scheduled to fucking be 10% less this year. I don't even know what the hell I would talk about with these people. That's like, have you ever had a job like that?
I've done warehouse work, forklift operator.
That shit's fine. Those are always chill people. You're working with guys telling horrible jokes and fucking.
Yeah, you know? You're in a warehouse and retail jobs when I was much younger. I started stand up when I was 20. I don't think I've had a day job since I was about 23. I got fired and I collected unemployment and did gigs. Which was great. So no, I don't never a career oriented job like this guy.
Yeah, no way.
Business administration. Yuck. What was your last job before stand up?
Like a Chandler job. I'm always like a gig guy, loser, never knew what I wanted to do with my life. I did video editing. I would do like that for weddings,
right?
Bullshit like that. When I lived in LA, that's what I was doing first to like to pay the bills. But I never had like I was very much just a gig guy doing stuff. My parents being like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, we'll figure it out.
You're kind of like Alex from Clockwork Orange. Oh, he just does here and there helping people.
Yeah. And I'm the youngest. I'm the youngest boy in an Italian family. So I was like, my mom will let me live here until I'm 100. That's all right. And my dad was fucking praying to God. I would just drop dead or something.
Yeah, or get out of the house.
Yeah, he just wanted me to get out of there. Yeah.
When you're editing wedding videos, did you ever see like anybody who blew it filming? Like that seems like so much pressure filming someone's wedding.
Working for them is a nightmare because like I wanted to do like I wanted to treat each one like differently, which is it's not the way to do it because they have to be cookie cutter. These guys have to bang out 100 of them. So we've had plenty of I had to film one at the Beverly Hilton, and you want to be treated like you're not even a person. Work for rich people who get married at the Beverly Hilton where they have like the Oscars. Dude, they treated you like you were subhuman.
And what did you do? Well, you were there filming?
I was there filming. Okay. Yeah. And
how many cameras?
So this one guy I worked with, he probably had, I want to say three.
Smart.
So I was doing like B-roll, nothing like high stakes really. But you have to like paste together. If like there's been times where like, they missed like the father giving the daughter away, and like you have to just kind of like I don't know what the fuck. There's another one.
Wow.
Did you hear? Yeah, Pimp. There was another one recently where like they just like lost the footage. Like that shit is crazy.
Was the couple mad? Guy who asked stupid questions. But were they angry? They want money back? How do you lose the footage?
So it was something wild like that, or like their pictures got fucked up, or whatever. But yeah, dude, I hated it so much.
How would they treat you bad? Like just to, like being rude to you, or yeah, just, grab me that, do that.
Like, I've never been treated like the help before.
Oh yeah,
you know, I've never really met anyone that was that rich.
Yeah,
like we're, and, you know, in Staten Island, it's like, you know, rich is like, yeah, here's a couple $100, buddy. Like, yeah, it's not really rich. It's like, you know, wow, that guy has 2 Costco cards.
Yes. I've never been treated like the help, but I've certainly eaten pies like that movie had.
So, yeah, man, I don't recommend. This is a bad fucking industry to go into.
It's brutal.
It's brutal.
And the pressure. I was talking to someone recently, and she does this. I think she said she has like one camera. I'm like, what? Like, I don't have the pressure of, what if one camera shits the bed? I'm hoping she has 2.
So now what they do is, the good news is they charge more and you get less.
Yeah,
so that's always good.
Ain't that the way it is?
Yeah, they don't even, we don't even get like, like it used to be like our parents' weddings or whatever would be like just a 3-hour tape of the wedding.
Right.
Now it's like a 10-minute highlight reel.
Yeah.
And you don't even get all of the footage. So in all actuality, though, that's what people are going to watch. You're not going to watch your fucking aunt do the electric slide for 25 minutes. Like, nobody gives a shit about that. So I kind of agree with that. But it's all like out of control now, and they all look the same. And there's a standard that's kind of cool, but, you know, I don't know. I have a lot of opinions on weddings. I'm actually like just so fucking over them and the shit that people put the pressure on. And they're, just, they're so, especially where I come from, like they want their guests to pay for it. Like if you can't get if you can't afford this place, don't get married.
Right.
Then. Don't make me have to give you $1,000 so you can get married here. Like that's, and where I come from, that's like the norm.
Now, let me, when they're doing, do you, can the couple get all the footage if they want it?
It depends who. Like my wedding, I edited my own wedding video, and the kid that did it for me, really, really nice kid, he gave me the footage, but nobody wanted to. Like nobody will give you the raw footage.
Why?
I don't know why. Because they don't want to like put their name on a, some people do. Some people, you still can just get a bunch of footage, but I guess they don't want to sync the audio because they probably do that independently now.
I think because weddings get you sued the most as a videographer.
What do you mean, sued?
A lot of people get sued if they don't like their footage or they're not happy, you get sued. That's why I always turn down weddings.
But why not the raw footage?
People are weird. Even like headshot photographers won't give you all the raw assets either.
Yeah, no,
the
headshots.
They're like secretive because they don't want you to know about their mistakes they made.
Oh, or the bad things they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Them jerking off while you were changing. Why the guy recorded that, I don't know.
All that footage. Yeah, you know, through that dime-sized hole in the fucking, right at toilet level.
Yeah. But, yeah, bro, it's one of those things that's just like, you know, the cameras too now, Pimp, as you know, like, The quality, what you can get now versus what you can get just 10 years ago.
It's much better, right?
It's wild, dude. Wild. Yeah.
Are that two guys kissing? Oh, no. The guy's hugging his son. And I'm like, look at those queers. It's a lovely father-son moment.
Yeah. It is kind of weird, though. I don't know. My dad never kissed me, so I do get uncomfortable as well if I see that.
Yeah, it is. I got kissed when I was a kid, but growing up. Are your parents affectionate?
My mom, extremely. Yeah, my dad's not.
What's your dad do?
Retired cop.
Oh,
from Brooklyn. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're not known as the most cuddly.
Oh, no.
You know, you cuddle like a Brooklyn cop. You've never heard that before. What rank was he? Like, did he get to...
He was just
right, cop. Just
cop. My brother would always bust his balls. I don't know why he never, like... People always ask me that, too. Like, what did you ever retire as? I was like, cop.
Yeah. Never,
yeah, no. He did, like, 20 years, like... 19 years and 365 days. Like, he got out of there immediately.
That's smart. You're alive.
He got the fuck. You know, my dad retired. He was 47. I think about that now. He was 47. He retired. And now he does, like, contracting. Like, the Bible says you must.
Yeah.
As a guy from Brooklyn. And he did well for himself, man. But, yeah, I guess he my dad was also cool as shit, too, because my dad's, like, an artist deep down. And he loves living vicariously through my career, I think. And he's a big drummer. He's a great artist. And he would always tell us, like, most cops are like, I want you to follow my footsteps.
Yeah.
My dad was like, don't be a fucking cop. I hated it so much. Like, he was so honest about it, which I always respected that.
Now, who's his favorite drummer? I'm going to guess Buddy Rich.
Oh God, I don't know.
Or Neil Peart.
He loves Neil Peart.
They always say Peart. Everyone says Peart, but I say Peart because
disappointed in me. I don't even know his favorite drummer. I don't even really know.
John Bonham. I bet he's a John Bonham.
He loves the Allman Brothers.
Okay.
He loves shit like that. But I don't. I'll ask him his. I'll ask my dad his favorite anything, and it's the same thing you said, like the affection. He's like, I don't know. He doesn't like. He doesn't like answering questions.
Yeah,
about himself.
Too many.
Yeah, I don't know. Get away from me. He doesn't like answering questions. It's so like a
he had to deal with Brooklyn with like what part of Brooklyn was he in?
Brooklyn South Bay
was
Ridge.
He in the 7-5?
6-8.
Ah, 7-5 is a good
Bay Ridge
good group.
Yeah,
was that corrupt? I think it was the 7-5, that big documentary on the 7-5.
Oh, the one in the city.
I think so. No, yeah. Were they in Manhattan or no? I thought they were in.
What documentary?
It's called 7-5, corrupt cop. Scandal in New York Police Department, 75th Precinct, during the 80s and 90s. Michael Dowd. Yeah, I've interviewed him. He was actually a very personable guy.
Oh, the dirtiest cop ever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brooklyn's East New York. Okay, right.
Yeah. I mean, that's still not a great neighborhood.
No, even though like the hipsters have, I guess, moved in a little bit, right?
I always try to get a joke with that. It never really like worked. I guess it never worked.
Let's fix it right now. That's what tell the joke, doctor. I'll help you fix it. What's the joke?
Well, just like I said it once and then like it didn't work, so I never went back to it. But there's something funny to me about like if a straight guy goes into a bad neighborhood, he gets like mugged or beaten up. If a gay guy goes into that neighborhood, they push the criminals away somehow. Like it's funny to me that like they don't want gays in the military. It seems like they work to get the enemy out,
to get people away from you
or criminals.
Here's how you tag it. And the good news is they're gonna burn in hell. That's how I would tag it.
Okay, that's why it didn't work. Yeah. But yeah, that is fucking, isn't that crazy to like, I don't know, you go to like the worst neighborhood in America and there's like a fucking yogurt shop for dogs.
It is very bizarre. They move in, they have balls.
They got balls. They
dangerous
got balls.
Places
yeah.
They move into, scary places for white people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they usually do fine.
Yeah. Because maybe there's not that much, maybe we're all supposed to get along anyway. And the gays figure that out.
Yeah, no, I don't know if that's it or not. Yeah, the 7-5. It was a great documentary. I guarantee your dad is familiar with it. Like,
oh hell yeah, yeah. I think I've even like maybe heard of this. Have you seen the one on HBO, Life of Crime? Mm-mm. Oh, guys,
is it a documentary or a movie?
It's a documentary. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh.
It takes part. They literally follow these guys every like 5 to 10 years and they check in on their lives.
Wow.
And they, it's fucking crazy.
84 to 2020.
Dude.
Wow.
You would, I think, yeah.
I watched that. Director John Alpert. What is John Alpert? I know that name. John Alpert. Or am I thinking of another Alpert? Yeah, I don't know why I'm thinking of him. I'll watch it. How many parts? It's not just one part, right?
Is it? Two Life of Crime 2.
They took 1984 to 2020 and they only got two parts out of it?
Bro, it's...
Hope they're long.
It's really graphic. It's really... Okay, oh, so there's three? That says 55, 119 minutes, 120 minutes.
Oh, okay. So it's like...
It's like a limited series.
It's like a 5 hours of stuff. That's plenty of time.
It's really good.
I'll watch it. Yeah. You've convinced me. I'll definitely watch
it. Yeah, and it's fucking dark and they just like... They don't stop. It begins with them. They're like teenagers just robbing like a deli and to buy drugs. And then they check in on them, and it's really sad. It's they go to jail, they come out, they neglect their kids, and then at the end there.
Don't tell me the end.
I'm not gonna tell you the end.
Okay,
but I'm saying like they age.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
They age. It's fine.
I just covered the outside of my headphones. I apologize. That's what a stupid person you're talking to. If you ever wanted to know what's it like to talk to a stupid asshole, you're experiencing it right now. I go, don't tell me the end. I'm wearing fucking headphones.
I would say,
and I touch the outside of them.
For the average person, that's not that crazy. But for someone like you who's worked in radio as long as you have,
it's close pretty, to 25 years of broadcasting,
pretty bad.
And I covered the outside of my ears.
But I mean by like,
oh God, you do catch, I suck?
Oh, wait, get out of here because it's giving spoilers.
He's gonna, yeah.
But I'm basically, out. They age, man. Like they're like, see how old he is?
Yeah, he's an older man.
You met him when he was like 16. So it's really like did you see Boyhood?
It's familiar.
It came out a couple years ago. It was about the Oscars. It won all the Oscars. It was like
no.
It was all right. I don't think it was that great. But they,
it's a movie, though, right?
But this kid, yeah, they didn't change actors.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
They filmed
that
every 12 years or whatever.
I heard about that,
every
yes.
5, 10 years or something. 2002, 2013. So
every 11 years,
every couple,
yeah.
Every couple of years, they would like refilm scenes with Ethan Hawke. And I remember hearing about it. But Life of Crime is better.
Because it's real.
It's way crazier.
Yeah. I remember hearing about this. I want to do another call if anyone else on the phone. Because I think that first guy we really helped a lot. hey, you're on the phone with Eric and Jim. Don't be shy. Say hello. That's how I'm going to start answering the phones. Because it's kind of nice. Hi, you're on the phone. You're on the phone with Eric and Jim. Don't be shy. Say hello. Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad. I'm such a huge fan, man.
Don't be shy. Yes.
Okay. So I called in. Honestly, I didn't have any idea what you guys were talking about. I just been listening to the show for the last half hour.
WKRP in Cincinnati and sex crimes. Go. What do you got?
No, I got something better for you, Jimmy.
Okay.
Listen, you're always talking about how Chip pisses your old lady off and how everybody, all your fans are talking about they use him to piss their old lady off.
My old
right?
What are you, fucking on a motorcycle in 1970? Hey, the old lady's on the back.
The Flintstones going bowling.
All right.
We're
going to
do some crank
better,
and yell at the old lady. All right, piss the old lady off. Go ahead. Talks
fine.
My ear off.
Any more biker jokes?
No, that's it.
So I tried.
All right, go.
Long story short, bro, I tried, all right? I tried to sucker my lady into, some Chip gags, throw some Chip's lines at her. It turns out she loves Chip. Absolutely loves Chip. She's a huge Chip fan. Actually got a Chip soundboard put on her cell phone, so now she chips me all the time.
This is what love is built. This is what a good couple does. A couple that chips together stays together. I'm happy to hear that, sir.
I thought I might brighten your day, man. And she got big, heavy ones.
Big tits?
Big tits. Big milkers.
Oh.
I thought you might want to know.
You're right, I do. I do. I'm happy you said it.
Yeah,
big, heavy milkers.
I don't know
milkers.
How many chick fans got big milk bags out there.
Big milk bags. Is she a big girl or smaller or thin?
No, she's in good shape, man. Actually,
all right.
She's been losing weight like crazy.
Big through the hips? Roomy? All right, so she's got big, fat milk bags.
Well, I got
bags.
Cancer,
you.
So she's probably
nice sexy
planning
chat.
For afterwards.
Thanks for calling me.
Yeah, exactly. A big
thanks,
baby
Jimmy.
Feeders.
Don't ever quit, man. Don't ever quit.
All right,
we
thank you,
you,
buddy. Keep chipping with your giant-breasted wife. I envy you.
Wait, so that was the call?
Yeah, he just wanted to say he likes Chip, and his wife has big, fat tits. 2 for 2 in my book. That's what you call a home run of a phone call.
Wait, what's Chip? What is...
Oh, it's just a character idea. It's just very embarrassing.
I'm,
no,
I apologize. I didn't
that's
know.
Okay. Don't be. It's very embarrassing.
Oh, wow. Okay. I like Chip, too.
It's very embarrassing. Yeah, he's Ted's. It's very embarrassing to have to explain a person.
I
Chip
get
is.
It. Hey, I get it.
My wife's fucking parents were watching videos. They looked me up when I first started dating her, and they found Chip. And they're like, this guy's not funny at all. He sucks. This guy sucks. Humiliating. All right, let's see if there's anybody else. Anybody else have an enlightening phone call? Just say hi. Don't be shy.
Hey, what's up?
Hi. Is this little Jimmy?
Don't be shy. Say hello. What's your name?
My name's Paul Hoggis. How are you?
Yeah. Sure it is. I'm Paul Hoggis.
Yeah.
Give you a kiss.
No, it's really me. You don't understand.
Yeah, I do. I got it. What do you think? I'm the guy who made it up. Shh. Give you a kiss on your neck. Watch your little feet kick.
I'm trying to get...
All right, sir.
I wasn't expecting to be Uncle Paul myself.
I understand, sir. What's on your mind besides the obvious if you're doing Uncle Paul?
Listen, man, I'm a huge fan, and I'm so glad you're doing this podcast, and I'm just calling in to say you're doing a great job. Keep it up and all that happy horse shit, and we love you.
All right, well, thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying the podcast. Get this dirt back off the phone. No, I'm kidding. Thank you for the call, sir. Why did I say I'm kidding? Like, people wouldn't know that. I'm doing stand-up for 35 years. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, things have changed, I guess.
So. I know, but it's just like we say these things. Like, everybody knows I'm kidding. I need to say it.
Yeah.
I'm just funning you. I saw that in something. I'm just funning you. It was in a movie. I really hated it. By the way, what's that one with Pablo Pascal and the fucking little girl, The Last of Us?
Mm.
Is that what it's called? Yep. The HBO show? It's based on a video game or whatever, and the first season was really good, and I tried watching the second season. I just hated it, but I just didn't care. I'm sick of, like, adventures in a post-apocalyptic world or post-pandemic or disease.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit. Sick of it.
So a lot of these shows really only have one season in them.
I think so, too. A lot of them, one good season, like The Sopranos. They should have ended it after, guy who knows nothing about TV, they should have ended that right after season one. WKRP in Cincinnati, you should still be going. I saw a show last night that had the guy who played Les Nessman in it. If I wonder why nobody under 71 wants to fuck me, remind me of my conversation points. Do you remember that show or no? I talked about it before with Gordon Jump.
You know. No, but it sounds, it's one of those ones where like just the names are good enough.
He's dead.
Gordon Jump.
He also played the pedo in Different Strokes, the guy that tried to seduce Dudley, the bike shop owner. He's my favorite. Do you remember that episode with stupid Dudley in the bathtub?
Oh my God. That's, you know, this is a trope we've lost. The kids show with the pedophile. There was a smart guy episode that had one. You know, I don't think...
It's a very special episode, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, and he's trying to get Arnold and Dudley to eat pizza and
watch
porn.
Hey, he was progressive. It was at least black pedophilia back in the 70s.
No, with the white pedophile. The white guy was the bad guy.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. All right, so that hasn't changed. And look at little Arnold, and then stupid Dudley wants to stay and read comic books. He doesn't get it. Look at this. He's got his arm around him, and Dudley's, like, enjoying the hell out of the conversation. On Dudley's father. My friend had to go to court one time for something, so me and my other friend went to support him, and there was another case before his, and the guy testifying looked like Dudley's father, but was talking about how his wife hit him with a frying pan. And me and my friend couldn't stop laughing. We had to leave the courtroom. My friend Dean was in trouble for something. Yeah, this was a great episode. Oh, look, special issue, naked girls.
Come on, don't you guys want to watch this?
Oh, this is fantastic.
Don't you guys want to look at this?
His big fat fumbling fingers.
That's fucking hilarious, man.
But yeah, they would always do this. They would always have a special episode. Gary Coleman died a few years ago. Mm. We interviewed him once and he wouldn't sign my Different Strokes. He said, man, don't ask me to sign that shit. But he was great. He was just so bitter. He was a fun guy to talk to.
Wasn't he like a security guard or something?
You know, I thought he did do something after acting at one point. He might have. There was a picture of him in a little probably a child security outfit.
He was a security.
Yeah,
he was a security guard.
42.
Yeah, they did. Chappelle's show made fun of him for that. Yeah, it was a.
Wow, face the hell.
See, including security work.
Wow, who's getting
a brief run for California governor. Oh, man.
And by the way, the whole security thing was probably the first time somebody did something wrong. That was the end of his job. What happened? We have security, but the man stepped on him and walked out.
Oh, the security guard was Gary Coleman.
Financial difficulties, bankruptcy. I get it's hard when you're being a child star. It's got to suck.
Dude, that
very
sucks,
few of them
man.
Can make the translation.
42, he died. Wow.
Yeah, 2010. Rick Schroeder was Ricky Schroeder when he was a kid. Made a transition, I think, into an adult actor. Very few of them can actually,
I know, man,
pull it off, and I don't know why. When they go to college, they're finished. Like when a child actor goes, I'm going to take a few years. The only one that worked for was Jodie Foster, but that was because Hinckley shot Reagan, and then I think, I don't know if she was in college when that happened, but he shot Reagan for her. If you remember, that was why he did it, because he was in love with Jodie Foster.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah. John Hinckley.
Oh, God.
He just got out of jail, by the way. He spent, was that 81 or 83 that he shot Ronald Reagan? But he did it because he was obsessed with Jodie Foster. And it's the greatest joke ever. She's gay. Like, he had no shot. He had no shot at all. Oh, I thought, though, because he spent like 40 years in prison, how funny would it be if the first day he got out, she blew him in the car? That's the hottest thing anyone's ever done for me.
It's good to see Macaulay Culkin is like normal now. I mean, I don't know if he was ever not normal, but he disappeared for a while. I think people were worried about him, thinking he was like a little, but he looks totally great and like healthy. He's watching like Home Alone. You could like buy tickets to go watch Home Alone with him now. He's doing like a tour this winter. You could do a
Do you know how sick of that movie he must be?
Oh, dude,
I've seen it twice and I never want to see it again.
Yeah, he's doing like a oh God, yeah, he had a bad dad.
Oh, he did. And John Candy recognized it, by the way. John Candy, what a terrible death.
Ugh.
One of the funniest guys of all time, man. He was, I think he was the second funniest like fat man in comedy history. Gleason was the first, and then I put John Candy right after him. I mean, Belushi was great. Chris Farley was great, but I put Belushi and Candy in an opinion no one asked before. I'm saying that definitively, like I'm challenging the conventions, and no one cares. They're like, so what? No one gives a shit.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that too. That's a pretty fucking bullseye comparison too. He was so just one of those things, man, where it's just like he just appears. All his stuff in Home Alone, I mean, he did it one day. He was there for one day.
John Candy or?
Oh, John Candy, yeah.
Why would I think? What, no, Macaulay Culkin. Shot the whole movie in one day, asshole. Stupid question.
Maybe without Jackie Gleason.
Did you ever see, there's a movie with John Candy. Everyone knows like Stripes and all the great, but called and Planes, Trains and Automobiles. But Only the Lonely with an actress named Maureen O'Hara, which was a really good movie. And it was semi, I think Ali Sheedy is in it. It's semi dramatic. Oh, Anthony Quinn. Yeah, Ali Sheedy.
Oh, I got to watch this. I love finding, my favorite thing to do is when my wife wants to watch a movie, I like putting on something from like the early 90s that I've never seen, and like it's just like a, like I've never even heard of this. So
yeah, it's a good movie. He's actually a good actor. John Candy was a good actor, and I think there was some decent,
oh, hell yeah,
dramatic moments too. Like it wasn't amazing. And James, yeah, Jim Belushi was his,
remember the
friend,
speech from Planes, Trains, you know, I like me.
Great.
Oh man, yeah, so good.
Yeah, Steve Martin was hilarious in that too.
Man, I love that. Yeah,
very funny movie. And I thought of that recently because I had a rental car problem, and I just thought of that film.
Oh my God!
When he's marching across, and he fucking tells that fat, what, who's that fat lady? Is that Edie McClure?
Yeah, the girl, the lady from Ferris Bueller.
I don't know if it's Edie McClure or not. Can you look that up? Edie McClure. She was an actor. I don't know if she's in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Is that her?
That looks like her.
It says Eddie, but it's Edie. Yeah. Okay. Oh, there it is. Edie McClure is different. Oh, McClure. Edie McClurg? Is that her name?
McClurg.
No. Ferris Bueller's Day Off playing. Yeah, I always thought it was McClure. I was incorrect. I always thought it was McClure. All right.
I mean, John Candy made the... not John Candy. Chris Columbus and John Hughes. How's that movie? That movie's probably fantastic.
John Hughes was very good. He did all the Pretty in Pink. He did like 16 Candles.
He also wrote a lot of great shit that people don't really like... realize that his death needs to be like mourned more. He wrote Ferris Bueller in a fucking weekend. That's, there's right, a whole documentary about Breakfast how just Club. What a monster he was at, yeah, writing.
And he also whoever did the music for his movies, I don't know if it was him, it's like Tarantino, the music is so good. You know how good a music has to be when you notice it's good, like, and it's also the same with bad music. Like the worst music in movie history is in And Justice for All with Al Pacino and The Firm with Todd Cruz. The worst musical scores of all time.
Yeah, it makes it break. Movies don't have scores anymore. I think that's why we're losing like the essence of what movies are really great at.
What's your favorite?
Favorite movie?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I don't know. You got to sound deep and artistic when you say this, right? I don't want to say it's Ocean's 11 or fucking Mean Girls. Just because I watched it recently, I'll probably say Goodfellas.
Yeah, that's
just
great.
Just because I was watching it the other day with like the school aspect of like all the freeze frames are supposedly his like greatest memories.
Yeah.
And like they become less and less as the time goes on. And then it's like, because it's a lot when he's a kid. And then the red in the beginning that shows that was the... It was, I don't know. That movie's just so fucking good. You can watch it.
I love Casino too. I love the lighting in Casino.
Oh,
Sharon Stone's run was amazing. She ran like a crazy, coked out fucking bitch wife.
Yeah,
it's the greatest run in movie history. No, her and the daughter from Taken, when she ran that spaz run she does, she's fucking 41 and she wants a pony. Asshole.
Why? What's your favorite movie? Can you say one? I mean,
It always goes between like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or Clockwork Orange or The Godfather, Raging Bull. Like those are kind of like the four or five. Or Dog Day Afternoon. I love. There's a few, but I can't really pick one.
Of course, yeah. I mean, Godfather's so good. It's one of those ones that's just like, fuck, this is so good. Especially because you remember, like, that was the first that started it all. You know, that changed a whole genre of movies. You know, like, oh man, the violence, the fucking music.
Yeah, Yeah, Sonny's death.
Here I am trying to sound like a fucking film.
No,
critic.
But it was very funny. I've done that too. Where you start, I start off on a thought, and all of a sudden, I realize I have one thought, but I'm setting this up like I have 30 thoughts.
Yeah.
Look out, sit down, folks. Bunch of thoughts coming. Just one. I've done it.
What I meant to say was that movie was good. Yeah, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he did plane. John Hughes did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I've only Weird Science. I don't remember loving, but I remember it was a good movie. I think, is that Anthony Michael Hall, Kelly LeBrock?
Anthony Michael Hall.
What a man. And he's a guy who started as a child actor, yeah, but has had a really good adult career because, yep, he's like a legit actor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's done a lot of great movies. Molly Ringwald, I would still honestly, if she would allow me to insert my penis, I would do it. I would do it. Probably, yeah, not, man, well. I'd probably, yeah, be half limp because I'm nervous. Yeah. Can I get a picture with you after? My half hard dick, I'm fucking taking my fingers and pressing
call,
it in.
Call me Ducky.
Oh, right. Yeah. That cock blocker. Oh, Ducky was the worst. I despise Ducky.
You were probably a good age for 80s teen movies, right?
Sure. I was 68. I was born. So,
oh, man,
in the 80s,
nice.
I was 18, 19. Oh, yeah, it was,
man,
right in my wheelhouse.
That's bullshit.
James,
man,
Spader is the bad guy. You,
yeah,
know?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Fucking Less Than Zero. Julian gives good head and is dead. Remember that when they're naked Robert Downey Jr.? They were making him
treasure trove, this guy.
They were making Robert Downey Jr. blow guys to pay off his drug debt. He played a rich kid named Julian who got hooked on coke, and James Spader was like the drug dealer who was his age. And who else? Andrew McCarthy, I
did
think.
Did you
was
like
in that?
St. Elmo's Fire?
I don't remember. I've seen it, but I don't remember.
I think it sucks. I watched it like too late.
What's that about? Is that gays or is that a race? I'm thinking.
They're all just like rich kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I give a fuck about their problems.
St. Elmo's
Fire.
Oh,
you're
a
rich white kid. I don't care.
Ali Sheedy is good. Judd Nelson. Okay, Annie McDowell. It's that whole Andrew McCarthy. Yeah, Emilio Estevez, who I like a lot. I have to watch this again. I hate the slug line. The heat this summer is at St. Elmo's Fire. Is it? What is St. Elmo's Fire?
No idea.
I'll watch it. You know what? I'll watch it. I may hate it, but I love Emilio Estevez, too. I think he's kind of underrated.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, well, we grew up on, like, Mighty Ducks. That's how we know him.
Yes. But he's also didn't, because Charlie was so... Did like so many great films.
Yeah.
And his father is such a fucking...
I know, man.
I think one of the best guys of all time is Martin Sheen.
You ever seen Money Talks with Chris Tucker? Chris Tucker and Charlie Sheen?
No.
One of the most underrated comedies of all time.
No.
It's fucking hilarious. It's Chris Tucker's first big break outside of Friday. No.
Oh, and it was before Rush Hour?
Right before Rush Hour. And it was so good. I say all the time, whoever put Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker together, I mean, that was the greatest combo.
Honestly, yeah.
For comedy, man, it's really hard. They were so fucking funny.
Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy were great.
Ah, yeah.
Also, Mel Gibson and Danny Glover in Lethal Weapons. They had a weird ability. It was to do those cheese dick lines and still be an enjoyable movie. Like, they don't lose you.
That's a good point.
Some of them, sometimes they'll lose you, like, shut up.
They had the like, aggravated cop who has a shoulder pain the whole time while they're smoking a cigarette the whole movie.
Yeah.
They had that energy, which was good.
Who, Mel Gibson?
Yeah, Mel Gibson and Danny Glover.
Yeah. He was great.
Oh, man. Oh, I forgot how fucking good Lethal Weapon is, man.
Yeah. Do you really want to jump? And the guy's like, you're psycho.
Or, like, even Die Hard with a Vengeance with Bruce Willis and Samuel Jackson. I fucking love that movie.
I don't remember that.
It was the third.
Neither did he.
Because it was the third, you know, remember, like it was the third movie. I think it's the best one. It's Die Hard. It was the first one. Then the second one's on the plane, which that's kind of the worst one. And then Die Hard with a Vengeance is fucking awesome.
I liked. I had a scene with Bruce Willis in that the Kevin Smith movie.
His stand-in.
No. I played a guy that him and Tracy Morgan in what was that cop movie?
Oh, Attack.
No, it was a police movie.
I remember it.
It was with Kevin Smith directed it.
Cop Out.
And Bruce Willis was very nice to me because they had to hold something right over my eye. And me and Bruce lived in the same building at one point on the east side. It was a Trump building on 70th.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't live there anymore. But I told him that. I'm like, yeah, we lived in the same building. So he was super nice to me on set.
Oh, wow.
Because you don't want to be a dick to a guy and then see him in the elevator.
Yeah,
you know
really.
What I mean? Yeah, this fucking guy sucks. And I see him the next one. Hi, Bruce.
Did you ever see him in the building or never?
Never again. But I think he had moved out by that point. But he was very nice. And
that's why he moved out.
Yeah, exactly. So who's this fucking kid with the oval head blinking at me? I got it. I'll take a picture with you. Oh, yeah, let's do one more call. Thank you. I totally forgot. Oh, wow. Yeah, I forgot.
Oh, hi. My name's Aiden. I'm from Washington.
Hi, Aiden.
State. I'm 22.
Okay.
Big fan, Norton. Fucking amazing.
Thank you.
I do not know your guest. Sorry.
That's all right. He's very funny.
That's what I'm talking about.
Is that the end of the call? He just called in to say, I like you. I don't know him.
Yeah, thank you.
Great, thanks.
Is this my dad?
Pretty much. No, I've been listening for like the last hour or so. I've seen a couple of the movies you guys were talking about and stuff, but mainly the question I was wanted to ask was, what is a couple comedians that are like your guys' top / any underrated ones?
I mean, he wants your opinion. He doesn't give a fuck what I think.
No, I would like to hear yours before I give mine.
Oh, like best of all time? Or,
yeah.
Underrated?
Which is favorite, yeah. Underrated, I would say George Carlin. No, I'm kidding.
Definitely.
No, I'm kidding.
I said it before, but I mean, I said Ellen because she's just, I feel like, gets a lot of hate now, but especially before her show. I mean, she was like literally my favorite comedian as a kid because they would play those on HBO a lot. You know who's a fucking phenomenal comedian? Jay Moore.
Yes. Jay is very underrated.
I saw Jay at Gotham when I was like 15.
Yeah.
Fucking destroyed. I still quote that. He's had some of the greatest jokes ever. You know, no one really knows he's a stand-up. He's a monster stand-up. I know he is.
And he is underrated.
Yeah,
And Jay's a very confident. He's doing a podcast now, which I'm happy to see him
crazy
doing,
confident.
Talking more. But he's a great talker. He does great impressions.
Oh, yeah.
He's funny. Jay is a... He's underrated. So I'm happy to see him. Like, not that he went away, but he was just living his life. He's got a kid. He was busy and he's a great actor. So yeah, Jay Moore, very underrated. I always thought Robert Klein was very underrated. Like people know how famous he is, but like when you hear about the greats,
You gotta be into comedy to know who he is.
To know Robert Klein. Yeah. I always felt as a stand up, Woody Allen was underrated, but
really?
He stopped doing it in the 60s. But he's one of the greats ever. I mean, he's in my top three actually. Woody as a stand-up.
Wow.
Pryor, Carlin, and Woody Allen.
Holy shit.
As a stand-up. There's something called the Nightclub Years. You can get it on Apple Music, I think, has it, and maybe Spotify, but it's the greatest joke writing anyone's ever done.
Really?
Woody Allen's joke.
I'm gonna check that out.
No one wrote better. I mean, again, it's in the 60s, so they weren't dirty. But every joke had a beginning, a middle, an end, a climax. Like, it was stuff that people are still not talking about. Mm-hmm. He was the first, like, neurotic Jew. Like, Woody is an absolute stand-up genius, but he hated doing it, so he stopped. Mm. But, yeah, I would say Woody is the most underrated.
Wow.
As a stand-up. Like, as a filmmaker, he's not, but...
Yeah.
Anyway.
And as a, you know, guy who has sex with...
Well, they say that. I don't know if that's true. I don't want to believe that that's true. But here's what my... It's a weird thing to lie about. It seems like it might be true, and then but no one else ever said he did it. So maybe it's a lie. To me, there's been no definitive proof, and two police investigations. So I'm Team Woody, but let's be very clear. If he did do that, I would still love his comedy, and I'd still listen to it.
Yeah.
I can separate the art from the artist.
I mean,
if you don't like Hitler's paintings, don't call this show. I mean, people talk about how morbid it is, but John Wayne Gacy was a rapist and a murderer, and they love his paintings. I can't like Woody's jokes. Fully.
I mean, himself, Bill Cosby himself is still one of the greatest.
Masterful. Yeah, I mean, Bill Cosby was a great comic and person. All right. And this, by the way, John Wayne Gacy was a fat clown who painted fat clowns. He kind of sucked.
Yeah,
he sucked.
He's like,
ugh.
It's literally everyone's like worst. Every little kid's worst nightmare. A fat clown is gonna come. Did he?
Oh, yeah. Well, he would drug them. They weren't necessarily children. They were young, but teenagers. They weren't like five-year-olds, but they were still, he was still a I think some adults, too. He was just a fucking creep. Yeah.
Psychopath.
He would drug you, show you a magic trick. But there was one teenager that got away from him. Like, the kid was like a wrestler, and he fucking got out of the cuffs, and he got away. And I think he, like, knocked Gacy down and then saw him years later. He was like, "You remember me? Do you remember me?" And Gacy was like, "Oh," and he walked away. But, you know, out in public, this kid was going to kick the shit out of him.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know why the guy didn't pursue it.
Yeah, I mean, apparently, whenever you watch, like, a documentary or anything, they make the 70s seem like it was the Stone Age.
Yeah.
Like, you got to realize this is before the internet. This is before. Yeah. It's like, well, you guys had fucking, I don't know, you had cameras or people, like... We make it seem like nothing. There was nothing you could do back then. It's like, but there was something you could have fucking done. I don't know. Maybe.
But there was no vid. Like there's now, like the when they're tracking somebody, like when they caught Luigi Mangione, right? They just track. Like there's always a camera trail now with Ring cameras. With every business has a camera.
Oh yeah, dude.
Traffic cameras. The cops track. Like there's always a way to kind of eventually trace you. But back then, I mean, it was like, if you didn't walk in front of a live news camera, you're never getting found.
I guess you're right. Yeah. Plus, there was no DNA. There was no DNA to...
Not down. No, just fingerprints, right.
Yeah.
With books. They'd have to look through fingerprint books.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy. Yeah, with a magnifying glass. You know how much that must have sucked? Like me having sex. A little penis. Anyway, folks. That's right. 35 years of stand-up. There you go. Eric, man, this was fun, man. You're really you're so fun to talk to. I really enjoyed
this
a lot.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much. Yeah.
And do you are you on the road or what are you? We'll put your like socials and stuff in the description.
Yeah. I don't have too many. I have I don't know when this is gonna air. I'll be in Phoenix, Milwaukee, Chicago, a couple Jersey dates, Tarrytown. You know, I'm around.
Yeah, this probably is gonna air. We're thinking March of 26.
Okay,
air in the next couple weeks.
I'll be somewhere around. Check out my Instagram.
There is nothing worse than when you do a podcast. You realize they're holding it. Like I just plugged everything I'm doing.
Yeah, the podcast
airs after.
Of course.
All right. Well, thank you, buddy. I'd love you to come back. This was fun.
Of course, man. I had a great time. Thank you for having me.
Goodbye.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over, it's time to go. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.